Day trips. We like to hike and bike, camp. My dad has a couple of Model Ts, and so we go along with him on the Model T tours. This last trip, I think there were probably 30 cars. I mean, like you're geocaching, but you don't stop for the caches. Not this last trip, but the trip before, I had the GPS on. There's no speedometer in the Model T. So I was driving home, and I think we got it up to 42.
Do you go along too?
Yeah, it's fun.
I looked on the log page, I noticed you did some in Illinois.
Yeah, I was trying to hit some more of those counties that I hadn't got yet. I don't even think to check about the weather. I'm just, let's go. I've recently started on the pocket queries to cut the terrain and the difficulty down if it's on a trip like this, because I don't want to spend a lot of time searching for that one and then it's not there. If it's close to home or if I know I'm just going to do a few, then yeah, I'm going to go for those.
How did you first find out about geocaching and when did you start?
I heard about it through the Indiana State Parks. We do a lot of camping over there. They've got some really nice parks. And they had a brochure out called Fall Into Geocaching. And I probably saw it 2 years ago, read it and thought, this is kind of complicated. I don't know anything about it. Saw it again a year ago and thought, well, this would be kind of interesting to do. I bet we could do this. We went on that trip in the Southwest, and I had looked up a little bit about the geocaches, and I thought we could have done a lot of geocaching out there, but still didn't have the equipment, didn't know anything about it. I asked Santa last year to bring me the GPS unit, and that's where it started. I think our first find was January 5th.
January 5th, I remember.
It's not really densely concentrated in Decatur. I don't even know how many there were, but we went through them. I did save a few for rainy days when I couldn't get out. We pretty much tried to get out every couple of days or several days in a row there in the beginning. It bit me hard.
When I first looked at this map of Illinois, I saw counties that you can cache in, and then 6 days later, you've added about 11 counties.
I get to see the new map.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some more. We were kind of guessing that you're trying to find a cache in every county.
Right, there's the Illinois All-County Challenge.
What's that about?
I don't know. You got to do all 102 counties, and I don't know. I have to go back and read it. I just thought, okay, I'll do it. And there's also the DeLorme page. Hit every DeLorme page in Illinois. And there's 84 something. Okay. I don't remember the numbers.
Is your goal to get it done before the summer?
Summer, yeah.
Wow.
But I heard that there are two counties that don't have any caches that are active right now, Hamilton and White. So those are on the southeast side.
That can't be.
That's right.
That has to be remedied. When I was looking at your profile, I saw 6 or so days you went from one milestone to another. You know, you found hundreds and hundreds of caches.
Why not?
Trying to pass up Toronto.
Is there a personal competition that you're...
Yes and no. My personal goal before the summer started was to hit 1,000 during the summer. I don't remember. I was probably around 500, 300, 400, somewhere in there in May. And I thought, well, if I do 10 a day through the summer, then by the time school starts, I can hit 1,000. Then there was a little bit of personal competition, and it just got easier to do 20 a day or go out and do 50 a day and then look for those particular areas where you get 100 a day.
You were in St. Louis last doing the Grants Trail.
Yeah, that's
where
there is a nice
trail. Big flurry of caches.
Yeah.
You had an experience on that? Something happened to your bike?
Yes. Right after the first cache, the right pedal fell off. Threads were stripped, so there was no way to get it back on. And I'm with somebody, and I don't want to hold them up. I'm going to do this. I can do it with one pedal. Have you tried riding a bike with one pedal? It doesn't work very well. So I was jamming sticks in there, and you know, that would work for about 3 pedals, and that would snap and break. Made it about the halfway point, about 4 miles, there was a lumberyard hardware store. We went in there and bought a bolt and a nut and made a makeshift pedal for that. The problem was I was a little distracted trying to figure out how I'm going to move this bicycle. And so when we'd stop for the cache, I'm looking around for something I can jam in there to use for a pedal instead of the cache. But it worked out. It was all right.
Do you get to St. Louis much?
Yeah.
We used to.
Yeah. We'd come to Science Center, the zoo, the Magic House. And
when I printed this off a week ago, your fine rate was about 5, almost 6 per day. 6 months, you're about 1,300 caches. You're almost caught up with me, and I started in 2001. Of course, I started, Rick, when I was a geocacher, there weren't many caches out there to find.
See there, yeah.
Looks like it says that finds by container that 42% are micros.
That's bounced back and forth. About half have been regular and half micros. Probably is more micros than anything else at this point. So I went to Nashville last week. I loved Nashville.
Home of the LPC, where there's a cache in every lamppost.
Yes. Oh, I loved it. I got 120 that day. And that was solo. I was by myself, one set of eyes. We went to the Indiana Spring Picnic in May. And that was really neat. They had a really nice schedule. They'd have an event, and then you were free for a couple of hours to run around the park and find the caches, and then they'd have another event. And did that the whole day.
Tell me about the amazing geo race.
I had to start it off. They asked for anybody who could go through a small space from each team.
Of course, you were the smallest.
They had you sew two pieces of cloth together.
Oh, the little thing was because you had to get through the needle. How did you do on that?
I didn't do very well on that. It got in a knot, and then there was little holes in each cloth, and you had to get it through and weave it.
That was our first and last. Well, we weren't the last ones, though. We did make it over to where we had to decode the clue, then we were cut off. They were eliminating people at each stage. But beforehand, they wouldn't tell you what the events were.
Yeah.
They just said, you need to sign up. So, okay.
One of the people that were still threading their needle, my time I was done, and I took like 5-10 minutes. They get eliminated too. First three or four were the ones that went.
Have you thought about whether you're going to somehow incorporate geocaching into your teaching?
Oh yeah, I've thought about it because I also teach the physical science classes with the freshmen.
You should take the kids on a field trip geocaching.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure something out. Yeah, we can hide something out on the property.
On June 12th, you were out caching, but you had an encounter with, I don't know, was it Illinois' finest?
Yes, the trooper. It was at the end of the day, and we're heading home, and I think we did 40. It was mostly a cemetery run, so back there on the gravel roads, and Harley's friend Wade was with us. We said we'd be home at 10, and at 10, we're still 2 hours from home. So I wasn't really paying attention to the speed limit. Trooper pulled me over, and I could not find my current insurance card. So I got a ticket for speeding, a ticket for not having the insurance, and he didn't like my fuzzy dice on the mirror, so I got a warning for that.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
he was on a roll.
He was not.
He had a brand new pen. He wanted to make sure it worked.
Wow, it was quota time.
Yeah, so
and then
I was down in Jasper County, so I had to drive back to Jasper County to get my driver's license the other day. But you can't just show them the insurance and get the license back. The judge has to okay it the next day. It's in the mail somewhere, I hope.
Collecting geocoins, I kind of like the ones that you can keep.
Do you have a collection?
Some. I have like 10 of them.
I try to move the travel bugs around a little bit. I'm real bad about logging that I took them until I'm ready to drop them off, and then I have to go back and make sure I've got that all done. So I'm just not the best at keeping that stuff moving.
You have one travel bug, though, that's listed.
I had one. We put that together for our first multi-cache. Somebody picked it up, moved it to another one, and it's been sitting there forever. So we were going to bring it to St. Louis because its goal was to go to
Las Vegas
and ride along with the LVPD. I went to that cache to pick it up. The container was open. Everything was dumped out, and then that travel bug was gone.
So you're done with travel bugs?
No, I might do a travel bug. We'll make it to Las Vegas.
Yeah, we'll probably try again.
Is there significance of the ride along with Las Vegas?
I guess it's just a combination of we like Scooby-Doo and we like CSI. And
actually, tell me a bit more about the background behind the Scooby-Doo infatuation.
I don't know. It was just my favorite cartoon as a kid. Watched it every Saturday morning. It's on in reruns and Cartoon Network.
You still watch?
Yeah, they've got the, what's the new one called? What's New Scooby-Doo?
It's recording every
day. The guy who does Fred's voice has taken on Scooby because Scooby, the voice, passed away a few years ago. And Casey Kasem did Shaggy.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. Natalie from the show Facts of Life, she does the new Velma, and she's great.
How are your feelings about Scrappy-Doo?
A true Scooby fan hates Scrappy.
I would think so.
Because it was always a guy in a mask, and they figured it out. When Scrappy comes along, it's like real monsters. That's no fun.
Are you meddling, kids? I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. Moga.
Yeah, that was really fun. We didn't know what to expect. That was in March. We'd started in January. We went to our first event in the end of January, 31st, I think, and people were talking about, oh, MOGA this year, and I'm like, what's MOGA? I knew I wasn't ready to compete. We got 45, I think, of them that weekend of the 60.
45 out of 60. I assume we could have done another 15.
We ended up walking around the first day with two different groups of cashers that we'd met there at that event. And then I think we ran pretty much solo on Sunday. Harley got a little bit competitive after Saturday night, the awards. They were announcing the punch pickup in the morning, and he wanted to go get them all. We got how many?
Five. We got five.
Five. Anyhow, we tied for second place.
And the other person wasn't there.
But remember, they said, well, this one hasn't been turned in yet. So we went back out to like three caches that we'd already done looking for the punch. The other person went ahead and forfeited their second place position.
No, because they were gone. They left MOGA. They told me before we went for all those three caches that she left.
So we got a trophy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you explain that trophy to people when they say, look at the trophy, and they say, what's that for?
You took it to school, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I haven't taken any of my trophies to school. No, I haven't.
So I took it to St. Therese, and I said it was a race, which it was.
Yeah.
It was a race. We do think that MOGA needs a women's division. Like, I know there's a couple of women that I've talked to that would compete. Our first find was one of two golfers, Hyde. He emailed us and said, welcome, and this is what's going on.
How do you feel about the types of caches that are out there? I've never met a cache I didn't like.
I love puzzles. I love them.
I'll run them.
Yeah, I'll run a query on the puzzle caches and then solve them so that they're there when I'm in the area. I hate 1-1s. It's a curse because they're impossible. If it says 1-1, it might as well say 5-5. I'm going to look too hard or something. I don't know. If it's 1.5, I'm on it. But if it says 1-1, forget it. We brought our signature magnet to first 500. You know, we print them up and laminate them. And I ran out and just haven't been able to keep them made. If Farley's along, then yeah, we're going to look through it and make a trade. We had lots of geocaching.com pencils or dollar store stuff that we'd keep in a swag bag. If I'm out, just see how many I can get today, then it's probably just signing the log.
I guess you have a laptop.
Yeah. I didn't have a laptop before geocaching. I didn't have internet service before geocaching. I had a big investment to make. We had internet at home and then decided I didn't need to spend that money, and I had access at school. Didn't need a laptop for any reason. Actually, the first logs I logged through my telephone because I have the mobile web. But then I realized, okay, I really need a laptop. I need something that's portable and have internet service wherever I am. If it's pretty close to where I'm parked, then I'll drive the Jeep as close as I can get. And if I'm stuck, I'll go back and look at the last five logs and see if I can get a clue there. There's been several times I've pulled out the phone and used the mobile web to read the description. Because I don't print them out. I did the first 100 maybe. But I just go. That's it. I'll run the pocket query. I'll usually find the county seat and run a query based on the county seat's location.
Now, you have a series of caches.
Favorite places is just that. There's, you know, some places we like to go to in Decatur and that needed a little micro, just an easy park and grab. So we have a favorite places relaxation, which is at the zoo and, you know, a park area. There's an Oriental Gardens in there that's really nice. It has a waterfall.
Oh, that's where it is?
Yeah, that's right. You weren't with me when I hit him. But I put that one right in front of the monkey cage, so they have to look at the spider monkeys. And then there's a favorite places, Kiep. Where's that one?
By the karate school.
By the karate school. Favorite places, breakfast, which is near
Cracker Barrel.
And favorite places, moving pictures, by an old movie theater.
Jack Benny.
I love Jack.
How come no Jack Benny tattoo or just...
Oh, now I didn't think about that. That would be perfect. We could put him next to Scooby. We love the old radio shows. We've got Sirius Radio and listen to Channel 118, which is the radio classics. So we listen to Dragnet, The Shadow, and Jack Benny, and Abbott and Costello, and
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger, Fibber McGee. So we love Jack, and I thought it would be fun to do a puzzle about Jack Benny and include radio clips from the programs that kind of act as a hint. think there's six questions, and at each of those individual caches, they have to answer a question about Jack.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you.
Are these caches near where you live, so they're easy to obtain?
Yeah, yeah.
They're actually in Harris.
Yeah, I really want to start spreading out, though, when I find the time and hide some more along Route 51 in Illinois. Runs north and south, and there's just nothing. There's this big pocket of emptiness between Decatur and Vandalia on Route 51.
Is that because there aren't a lot of obvious places to put them?
No, there's lots of obvious places. There's just nobody's doing it.
Nobody lives out there. There's not any houses or anything. It's just a highway out in the middle of nowhere.
I'd like to move out and start hiding them a little bit further.
Have you thought about going to the next U Woodstock or the Midwest Geobash?
I don't know if we'll go or not. I told somebody that I might go to that Geobash, but we'll see when it comes.
GPS receiver?
Magellan Explorist 400. That's what Santa brought, and that's what I'm using. I'm like one of the few. It seems that Garmin is the one to have. Been out with people that have Garmin. Sometimes we're dead on, we're doing the same thing, and sometimes I'm 100 feet off. Sometimes they're off. I thought at one point earlier, switching over to Garmin, when a friend of mine, Racer, crushed her screen. She had the same one I did. And then she was going to buy the new Garmin.
Hers was white, though.
And I thought, maybe I should do that, too. But then I've already invested in the software for Magellan, and I'd have to go through all that, so I don't know. One of these days. On one of the forums, there was a question somebody asked about, have you been stopped by the police? I read through, and some people had, like, one time maybe they'd been, or no, we haven't. I think I've spoke to probably five different policemen in the last month or two. I mean, it's all turned out good, except for the one time I got ticketed. One time we were doing a 24-hour cache. The very first one that we went to, my caching partner dropped the magnetic keyholder down the sewer. It was next to a fire hydrant in the Central Park next to a big statue. And so we're trying to figure out how to get it back out. And we're there for like 15 minutes. Finally get it all done and hop back in the Jeep. And then here come the lights. My instinct is to come up with a story instead of explain what geocaching is. But at 4:30 in the morning in the Central Park, looking at the statue didn't fly. My caching partner explained what we were doing. The cop was aware. He said, I've got a paper on that. Yeah, I know all about it. Later the same day, it was like 10 o'clock at night, we were DNFing on this one. It's in an industrial park. Here come the flashing lights again. And this time it was a female officer, and she didn't know anything about geocaching, but we showed her our GPS units and explained, and she's like, okay, all right. So that was twice in one day. A couple of park police. I know once I was climbing up on a table looking for that dreaded nano on the shelter. I've never found one. They're supposed to be there. I've run into a lot of policemen so far.
But you've been able to explain
my way out of it, yeah.
Because you're trying to get as many caches in the day, have you inadvertently or deliberately done night caching?
Deliberately. Yeah.
That doesn't stop you?
No, we've got three or four flashlights in the Jeep. I usually leave.
Two of them don't work?
Yeah. I think I've already left two flashlights at caches. One I left on top of the Jeep and then pulled away and heard a crunch. And I needed it. That was my last one. Luckily, I got it back together and it did work. I did do one right at midnight. It was called Do You Canoe. You're driving down a dirt lane and you're turning and twisting and you're way out there. I have no idea where I am. And I pull into this parking area. It's midnight and it's very creepy. And I swear I heard the Friday the 13th music. I'm sitting in the Jeep thinking, okay, it's 200 feet away from the Jeep. Do I get out? Do I turn around and go back? You know, I was caching in Peoria that day and caching my way back home. So I went for it and was glad that I did. Jason was not there.
See, you know, I'm not much of a geocoin collector, but I got one here from Pierre Marquette State Park. It was MOGA 2006.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Add your collection.
Oh, what do you say, bud?
Thank you.
Cool. We're going to cache today and sometime tomorrow, but I did promise Harley.
Tomorrow's our non-geocaching day.
And go to Merrimack Cavern.
So you're going to stick around here for a while?
Yeah, we're staying at the KOA.
How was that last night? Because the storm came through.
We're in
last
a cabin.
Night.
If it's going to be raining, I'll take the cabin. The tent's
or
in the
camper.
Jeep.
Have you been to the caves?
Oh, I've been hundreds of times, but he hasn't been to this one. We've been to several others. He's been to Mammoth Cave a couple of times.
Have you seen the series Planet Earth that they had on Discovery Channel?
Probably not. I don't watch much TV.
You did it through a series of years. And was he just disagreeing with you?
I guess so.
Yeah, you don't watch
in the wintertime, I become a couch potato during the week.
And yeah, you are never off the couch in the winter.
That's true. I'll sleep on the couch.
Unless we're geocaching.
That's my new goal, hit 2,000 this summer. And then after that, I'll take a break. We have seen just about everything from your Nano to a rented storage shed.
That was the cache?
That
the cache was in there?
That was the cache. I heard that one's only going to last through this summer because the fellow's paying $40 a month of rent.
He didn't rent it just for a cache?
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
Wow. Where is that?
That's in Peoria.
Caches that are in private property.
Personal homes, that really creeps me out. Some of them I've done if it looks like it's pretty close to the road. But there's been several that I'll pull up and say, I'm not going up there. What if you're at the wrong place? I wouldn't want somebody walking around my house. There's been several caches also that I've had to use the Jeep to actually reach the cache. You know, those that have the magnetic key up on the street sign or something.
Oh, that's like a ladder to climb.
Yeah, I'm 5'3". I can't reach those. I've had the jack handle out a couple of times to get them down, or I will just pull the Jeep right up to it and stand on the bumper, get to it that way.
Or the hood.
Or the hood.
Or the roof.
Or the roof, I did. That one cemetery, I had to stand on the windshield to reach.
What kind of recommendations would you have on people who place caches?
You can hide them anywhere. That Nano on the shelter at the park, I hate because I haven't been able to find it. I know it's there. I'm sure if I spent 3 hours or got some help.
If there were people sitting on picnic tables in the shelter.
We did that the last couple shelter ones.
If there are people there that are going to be watching what we're doing, I'll have to pass on it. But a lot of times, if Harley's with me, he can climb under the bench or the picnic table and
nobody's about it.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, Harley, check this bench. And he'll like, oh, I dropped my pen. Friend of mine, Fuzzy Bee, says he hates to go to parks. You got this guy alone in a park with kids. So I told him I haven't done it yet, but I was going to make him a shirt that said, I'm a geocacher, not a pervert, so I could wear that.
Have you had to stop your caching for health or injury or...
Even if you have blood pouring down your leg, you don't stop.
True. People are like, what's wrong with your legs? Sticker vicious. I don't go the long pants. I'll wear my capris and hiking boots. Someone asked, well, do you go and you just clean up everything in this city or this town? And the answer is no, because I'm going to come back at some point. I need to leave some within an hour's drive of home so that when I can't get away for a long drive, that I can get out and get some. There was a new one that came out just a couple of nights ago. I was sitting on the porch in my pajamas, running the pocket queries for, I think, this trip. Harley was eating. And I said, Harley, there's a new one. Come on, let's go. Didn't even get to eat yet.
So you'll try for the first to find.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often around home. I don't think there's enough people that are putting them out. But in some areas north of us, there's a lot. We're not a big first to find hound just because we don't have the opportunity. But if the opportunity arises, we'll jump on it. I think it depends on the day. I mean, sometimes it's competitive. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's just for relaxation. Sometimes it's for sightseeing.
Thanks, guys, for making the trek out here.
No problem.
Have fun today. There might still be some wetness. Doesn't seem like it matters.
It doesn't matter.
There you have it. In the 6 days between the time I recorded the conversation and the time I recorded this comment, mother and son have racked up another 250 finds. I have no doubt that by the time this podcast is published, she will have already reached her goal of 2,000 finds before the end of summer. I have two final comments to make. One, last year there was a geocaching podcast that suddenly stopped creating new episodes. One by David Dempster and Daniel Teasling, who put out some really hip geocaching videos under the name of Georgia Geocaching Monthly. The last episode they published that I'm aware of was from May 14, 2006. I'd like to see those guys pick up where they left off. People continue to subscribe to that podcast on iTunes even after it vanished from the scene without any explanation. I myself continue to think about the retirement of this particular podcast. I'll try to make it to episode 100, which means I have 34 more episodes to go. One more final comment. I am frequently asked how I pick who to interview. I have no set method. Sometimes I scan the list of SLAGA members. Sometimes it's someone's log I happen to read. I try to sprinkle in audio from events and interviews with land managers here and there, or seek out geocachers from outside the St. Louis area and Missouri. Occasionally someone asks me to interview them, but that is rare. Not everyone I ask to be part of the podcast has said yes. I don't relentlessly pursue people, but if you haven't said yes after two requests by me, I won't be bugging you again. If I haven't approached you yet, it doesn't mean I haven't thought about it. With 34 more episodes to go, if you want to be part of the SLAGA Geocaching Podcast legacy, send me an email at podcast@geostl.com so we can discuss the possibilities. This is Paul Kanabaki. I'll be talking at you later. This concludes the SLAGA Podcast. For more information about the SLAGA Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.